I facilitated at a local high school the week of the election. And I knew going in that that was a heavy week to begin with. And I got there and the energy was just low. Let's just put it that way. It was very, very, very low. And all I did really, like, I just cranked on that root bowl for almost the whole hour. Because I was just like, the crown and the third eye, like, that is not going to serve us today, right now. Like, we just need some grounding stability.
Mom.
Yes, what?
Slow down.
Sound familiar?
I get it. Mom life is demanding. There are no off hours, the pay is minimal, and your bosses are relentless. But there is a way that you can start giving back to the most important person in your life, you. As a mom of four, I get what it's like, but I promise you can start to enjoy life more, take time for yourself, and cultivate a sense of inner peace that all your friends will notice. My name is Jessica, and I'm the host of the Mom Slow Down podcast, where we will tackle topics important to us moms, discover the clues to healing and happiness, and take time just for us. Thank you for joining me on this journey to a happier, healthier, more satisfied version of you. Looking for even more joy? Check out my membership site at jessicanicole.love. Indulge in a yoga class, sip on a glass of Cabernet, or challenge your skills in the kitchen. But remember, Mom, slow down. This podcast is sponsored by the app, The Zen Mommy, my latest wellness offering just for moms like you. I am so thrilled to talk about my new app, where I share all the wellness tools that I use in my life. Check out the library of yoga, recovery, meditation, and strength classes, kitchen tips, and a recipe database of personally curated recipes to help you look and feel your best. Plus, check out the journal features, where you can cultivate a daily gratitude practice, and so much more. Life is stressful, but I believe we can make it all it is meant to be with just a few tools to help us along the way. Download the Zen Mommy now at Apple and Google Play and start creating a life you want.
Have you ever been down and not really able to pull yourself out of a funk? The thought of even trying to meditate or start a yoga practice was just too much. Well, I may have the answer for you. Have you heard of sound baths? Well, they're not actually baths at all, but a complete sound immersion experience where you just get to lie down, get comfortable, and maybe, just maybe, even take a nap. All the while, the body is infiltrated with this healing sound waves, activating the parasympathetic nervous system, which is our rest and digest system, without really effort from you at all. And if you've never heard of sound baths, don't worry. My next guest will tell you all you need to know. Welcome sound bath artist known as the Gardner Girl, Sarah Gardner.
Cool. Okay. So my first little question, would you consider yourself a sound healer? I know that's a big word and it's like so like grand entrance.
I love this question. And I'm so glad you decided to start with it because this is something I feel pretty strongly about, to be very honest. I do not call myself a sound healer. And that's not to say that they don't exist. I totally believe that there are people who can have healing powers. I'm not one of those people. I also think that it tends to take people's autonomy away from them and their own ability to heal themselves, which is very much how I view sound. Sound is a healing modality that I happen to practice. And so people can come and have very, very healing experiences, but that doesn't make me a healer. It means that someone was open and ready to change and heal, and they came to the right place at the right time, and we got connected, and they were able to facilitate healing for themselves through the modality of sound.
I love that. So you're kind of the conductor, the conduit of that energy, as if it were coming through you because you're playing the music, but that sound itself is doing the actual work. And I love that the client, the participant, the listener's ability to be open and vulnerable and ready, which I think is super important to any path of healing, no matter if it's conventional therapy, sound, energy balancing work, getting your tarot cards read, anything, whatever that might
be. Yes. And that's why everybody has such drastically different experiences, because some people do come with a healing intention, whereas others come to take a nap. And that's fine too. Whatever your intention is, I welcome them all. But yeah, it has so much more to do with the receiver of the sound and what they're trying to accomplish than it does with me.
I love that. All right, let's backtrack. I think anyone that's in a position of even being, like I said, a conductor of healing as a yoga teacher, a therapist, we've had a story, we've had a past that kind of got us to this place. And I'm sure you're not unlike all of us out there that are in a position that we found a modality that also helped us. Your mind was yoga. Yours, I'm assuming, had to do with music and sound. What was your path to healing?
Yeah. And again, I love this question. So thank you. And I'll try to keep my path to healing story concise. It began in 2017 and I turned 30 in 2017. But what had happened is that I was experiencing at the beginning of 2017, it was winter, you know, it's January, it's the middle of winter. I was living in Nashville and I do absolutely have a history of sad. I don't do well in the winter. I need the sun. I need to be in nature. So in Nashville, that was very difficult. Most people don't know this tangent. Nashville gets more rain than Seattle. So yes,
fact. It can't be more gray than Indiana though, girl. I don't know. I think we have 50 sunny days a year here.
You know what? It totally does feel like that. It totally feels like that. But what I found out is that Nashville is actually in a bit of a valley. And so storm systems just get trapped there. So if it was supposed to rain for a day, well, it would end up raining for 2 weeks because the storm system just like would not leave. Mm-hmm. And so anyways, learned this all the hard way by living it. This particular year was the worst depressive episode that I have ever had in my life. A relationship had ended really abruptly, and it really just threw what I know now is it threw my nervous system into a tailspin. And I did not eat solid food for almost 3 months. This was not anorexia. This was not dysmorphia. This was not me being like, oh, I need to lose weight. This was my body being so incredibly out of whack that when I tried to eat solid food, I would either gag. And if I was able to actually get some down, I would end up throwing it up later. Our gut, our second brain, was telling me, whoa, 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 no, I can't process this right now. But I didn't have any understanding of that while it was going on. And so for the first time in my life, I really just kind of paused. I just sat with what was going on and what I was feeling. And I met myself in this really, really dark place and came to this realization that I am the root of all the problems in my life. Like I am the root of my relationships with other people, with substances, and I am the root of my happiness, or in this case, my unhappiness. And it was a huge turning point for me where I kind of removed myself from this victim mentality that all this stuff was happening to me and people were doing things to me. And I was just like, if I created this situation, I can create a different situation simply by changing my behaviors, because all of my behaviors led up to this whole life. So if I start changing those behaviors, I can experience something very different. And so I just, once I acknowledged that it was me, that allowed me.
That's huge though. I mean, people go through their whole lives being like, well, if I only get that, I'll be happy. Or had they not done that to me? I mean, that is profound to have come to that realization. And then also to do something about it. That's scary as shit. That's so frightening.
And isolating as hell, because guess what happens when you go through this whole process of realizing that things aren't working? You lose all of your friends. Like literally you lose all of your relationships because people are like, well, you've changed. You're not the person that I was in relationship with. I don't know if I want to be in relationship with this new person. And I was having those same thought processes too. But so I just very slowly started substituting behaviors. So in the morning, instead of getting on my phone and scrolling, I made a non-negotiable deal with myself. You don't get to be on your phone until after you sit and meditate. Even if sitting and meditating means just sitting in silence for 10 minutes. Like, even if you don't connect, even if what you're trying to achieve doesn't happen, at least you're going through the motions. And so I started meditating and I started going to power yoga every morning and I started eating vegan. And so just bit by bit, these little changes amounted to really a big change in who I am at the end of the day. And the other thing is I started reading a lot of self-help books. I don't like that they're called self-help, but I mean, I guess that's still what they technically are. Because I didn't know what I was doing. You know, we behave in the ways that we witness and observe and are taught. And that was another part of this, really removing the blame and the guilt from being in this situation and saying, I've just been doing what I was taught. I've just been doing what I thought was best for myself. And just really meeting myself with a lot of compassion while I was going through this was a huge help. And the self-help books helped with that, because otherwise I would have just beat the hell out of myself throughout the whole process.
Did you have a guide, or a spiritual leader, a therapist, or anyone? Or you were just, I'm going to tackle all this on my own?
I was like, I'm going to tackle all of this on my own.
All right.
Which is my way. And I'll be very honest, like, I'm going through a very, very heavy time in my life right now. And I've very much been trying to, again, go through my own motions of like, well, if I learn enough about what's happening, like I can figure this out and I can fix this for myself. So I am, I guess, somewhat proud to say that in this chapter that I'm going through right now, I am getting help, because I recognize that we've gotten to a point where I can't help myself.
Well, and asking for help is totally okay, and normalizing the stigma of not being okay, asking for help. I think all of those are super important. Being honest with yourself that you may or may not have the answer. Some things you can do, behavior changes, albeit very hard and profound, you know, those are things that you can make a conscious effort to do most of the time. You know, I can choose to not pick up my phone. I can choose to meditate. I can choose the type of food that I put in my body. Those are conscious choices, if we're conscious enough to make them.
Yes. Yes. And I will, just speaking personally, the pandemic was horrible for me. I am single. I live alone.
Yeah.
It was horrible.
That's not said.
Me.
Yeah.
So I worked from home. It was just really a perfect storm of all of these factors that you stop engaging with the behaviors and you just start to spiral. But back in 2017, I think because I had been living such an unhealthy lifestyle, these changes that I was making made such a huge impact. And it was the first time I had ever developed a relationship with meditation. And so the results were just tangible. I mean, I felt like a different human being before and after each session. And it was like, well, this is a no-brainer. This is an absolute no-brainer that I'm going to keep doing this behavior. I guess this is a good time to like sort of say that I think that healing paths, at least in my experience, it has been completely non-linear. And I don't think it will ever end. Like, I'm finally in this place where I'm like, yeah, you have to keep doing these things all the time or finding new things, because I'm human. Mm. Like, I'm not special. I have the same kind of brain and body that was not designed to live in the world that we're living in right now, with constant screen usage and such a disconnection from nature. So 2017 was my introduction to the path to healing. And I did all of these things. And then in June of 2017, I had my first sound bath. And because I was so open at that point, you know, I'd been doing the yoga, I'd been meditating, I was vegan, I was taking CBD every day. So really, I was covering so many of the physical and mental basics. And energetically, I was just ready. I was ready for this big shift. I was ready to change. And I did. And I don't like telling people about my first sound bath,
because it raises the bar.
They'll come to class and they're like, tell us about your, and I'm like, we can wait until after class for that, because I stopped drinking. To this day, I still don't drink. So it's been over 4 years that I have not had alcohol as a result of this sound bath. Within 2 weeks of it, I had quit my career in tech, which I had never enjoyed, but was just doing. and I booked a one-way ticket to India. So the energetic catalyst that was for me, I mean, I can't understate it at all. And so following that, I just kept going to Sound Bath. I kept experiencing it. And because I'm intensely curious, I have a ninth house stellium for the people who are into astrology. I'm a student of life. And I just was like, what just happened to me? I need to learn everything that I can about it. So I just started studying about frequency and resonance and brain entrainment and all of these different things that I didn't know about. And I've been doing that since 2017. I didn't buy a set of bowls. Bowls are an investment, as you know. I never bought a set of bowls. I was just very happy for it to be a part of my healing repertoire. It was not something that I was like seeking to do, but I have always felt very called to this modality as a result of my own experience with it.
Which I think for me too, as a yoga teacher, I mean, a lot of people go into that trauma, some kind of life cycle event or a death or a separation or a rock bottom or an addiction and finding that path. And then it so profoundly changes you. You do feel this kind of innate desire to give back what it has given you to others and share that. I totally get that.
And that's what happened during COVID. I was laid off. I started this prior to being laid off, but so I finally, during COVID, was just like, I'm not doing that well. And I pride myself on being very self-aware. And I recognize that most people are not very self-aware. And so it just kind of scared me because I was like, I'm not doing very well and I'm really self-aware. What is that? And not to be like egotistic, it's just the fact of life. Like, if you don't want to be self-aware, you're not. And I think a lot of people are pretty scared of meeting themselves. Mm-hmm. And I was like, if I'm not doing well, then really a lot of people are not doing very well right now. And I know that I'm personally struggling to show up on my mat, to take time out of the day to meditate, to cook myself a meal. Like, I was really just doing the bare minimum. I was putting my headphones on it and listening to frequencies or to other things that helped me feel better. And I was just like, it feels really unfair to ask people to do something to make themselves feel better right now. But I know about this modality that is so passive, and I don't feel bad about asking people to come and lay on the ground for an hour. Like, I can do that. So I bought a set of bowls in September. I had my first public class in October at a local high school. And then starting in November, I started doing a couple classes a week. I joined a local co-working space and I just was using their conference room and hosting these sessions a few times a week. And the feedback was out of this world. People were just like, I feel so much better. And so I just kept going to the point where, you know, I was doing sometimes 12, 13, 14 classes a week. So here we are come June and I'm like being very open in that I'm not doing very well right now. It's because I completely neglected myself in all of this in trying to just do as many classes as I could and spread this around in an area of the country where this is not something that you can readily find.
Yeah, it's intense. Oh, and just giving of yourself, you know, being in that position to hold space for others. Let's get into a little bit of what is a sound bath. So I've had the privilege of attending yours, which was amazing, in person at my house, which is incredible, like a private little sound bath. And it was just a gem I'll never forget. And I had some sound baths prior to that. But people that are out there are like, well, I don't get it. What is it? Yeah. What is a sound bath? Let's just take it all the way back.
Yeah. So a sound bath is a immersive sensory experience in which the sound waves, and the reason they call it a sound bath is like you quite literally bathe in them. They just wash over you and you can't escape them. And because we are human and we vibrate, we are made of energy, we're made of vibrations, we are made of water. Which look at what happens to water when you introduce sound waves to it. I mean, nobody can deny that there's a very real correlation between sound and the body. And So these, and I love it when people come to class and they're like, I really struggle to meditate. Like, I don't know if how this is going to go. I'm like, you're here. Like, you can't escape. I'm glad that you're worried, but buckle in because you're here now.
Right. There is no like tuning it out. I mean, you're just in it.
Exactly.
And if there's a sound that, and we can get into that later, that you don't like or doesn't like you, you're in it, which is daunting for people that don't necessarily know what they're getting into.
Yes. And so what these frequencies do, so there are four main types of brainwave states, alpha, beta, delta, and gamma, I believe are the four. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to pretend like I'm a scientist or a doctor. I really know what all of these things do and mean. But effectively, when we are in a waking state, particularly right now, 14 months of living in this global pandemic, all the things that are going on from a socioeconomic standpoint, the addressing global racism, all of these things that have been happening, our brains, I mean, we're effectively in fight or flight right now. Our bodies are in fight or flight because they're just like, what is happening? What is going on? I was not.
Well, and the amount of stress that we're on, albeit before the pandemic, I mean, especially in our country, which focuses on work, work, work until you die and work until you can't work anymore and then get up and work some more. And we don't monetize value rest as important. And so then you put all of that global tension, racial tension, socioeconomic tension, social, emotional, you know, physical tension on top of that was just a perfect storm for sure.
Totally. And so I do know that in that state, the brainwave state that we're in is beta. So when we're stressed out, our brainwave state is beta waves. And when our brain is in this state, it's telling our body to release cortisol and doing all of these really harmful things. At least if a cheetah's chasing us, great, right? Like it can save our life. Probably not, but maybe.
The cheetahs are pretty fucking fast.
Right. Yeah. I'm like, you're probably.
Yeah, I'm not even sure we're going to go against a bear. I mean, maybe a small coyote. I don't know. We're so out of that fight or flight as humans. I don't know that we could really come up against much, to be quite honest. But our adrenaline and cortisol is there just in case.
Right. But if those things are pumping all the time, which they have been, that's not good for us. Mm-hmm. And so what a sound bath does is it literally downshifts that brainwave state into one of the other three states so that we're no longer in fight or flight. Like it literally activates the parasympathetic nervous system, which is the rest, digest, and heal response, which again, it's like, it takes so much pressure off of me because I know that this is just a physiological response. If you come, you're going to experience this response.
Which is different than meditation because I think it takes time and practice for people to be able to downgrade that and to actually get into a state of relaxation, to get out of the thinking mind, the monkey mind, the stress mind, and downregulate and be able to access rest and digest, which then is also a practice. So if your body is never in parasympathetic and is always in sympathetic and is always going, it doesn't even know how to get there. So this is like a very hands-off way to be like, test it out. Give your body a second to just relax and do nothing.
And thank you for saying that and for saying that it's less of a meditation. So first, there are so many people who, practitioners all do this differently. There are a lot who call it meditation. I'm very explicit in that I'm like, we are not meditating today. I do not want you to be present. I want to send you to outer space. I just want to make you feel better. There's another local practitioner, Meg. She encourages people to stay sitting. It's a listening exercise where you are very present. You stay in the moment the whole time. So for people who are interested, mine is really less of a meditative experience. A lot of people sleep. Like I had a team from Salesforce. This will not surprise you at all. I had a team from Salesforce a couple weeks ago. Every single person fell asleep. And I was like, this is a win. This is a huge win.
That's good to know, because that's, I think, the first thing that people are like, oh God, I don't want to meditate because I don't want to fall asleep. I don't want to be the person snoring in the room, you know, to give people permission to truly relax. I mean, it'd be great teetering on that edge of sleep, but if you fall asleep, you fall asleep. That means you're relaxed.
Yes. And I tell people that before every class. I go through a little spiel just to make sure people know what to expect when that rest, digest, and heal response kicks in. Because a lot of times people's stomachs are going crazy. And if they aren't prepared for that, they're like, what's going on? Is this normal? Is this healthy? Do I need to be worried? So I always start class by saying, we're going to activate the parasympathetic nervous system. Here are some things that might happen. I'm just telling you so that when it does happen, you can remain immersed in the experience and not even give it a second thought. And I say, if you fall asleep, I am so happy that you fell asleep because it means you need it and you're getting something that you need. And you do not need to be coherent to absorb frequencies. Like, you're still going to get all of the benefits of this practice. And I love what you also said about how people don't even know how to get to the path of downshifting the brainwave states. I was reading a few days ago that our brainwave states can literally get stuck in a rut. Like, they literally mm-hmm. will just keep repeating unless you do something to change its course. Mm-hmm. And so to your point, exactly. That's exactly what this is doing. It's sort of the, and I do like calling it a meditation hack. I'm like, if you have trouble meditating, mm-hmm. come to a sound bath. Your experience
is doing the work for you.
Right. 100%. It is creating changes, physiological changes in your brain and in your body.
Yeah, it's profound. So when I've had an experience, and we can kind of talk about this, the sounds affect us differently. There's different tones that correlate to the seven chakras. That's correct. And you said something to me that I thought was so profound, and how it affected our energy bodies and like past trauma, because I had an experience with probably the first sound bath I had. And I came out of this and it was transformative. I was like, oh my God, I was taken to a place. My entire body was, I mean, it was just out of this world. And the woman next to me, who I'd been in this 500-hour program with, was like, I hated every second of that. And I wanted to run out of the room. And I was just like, whoa, two people in the same room having deeply, deeply different experiences. I mean, with a similar, you know, we're in the same room, we're hearing the same sounds, but it's affecting us so differently. Can we kind of talk about how that affects the body and what may come up?
Yes, yes. And again, I love that because it takes so much pressure off of me, right? And this has been such a learning experience for me. Like, in the beginning, I would have so much anxiety before class and I would just want it to go perfectly and want everyone to have a great experience. And you learn pretty quickly, like, what they're experiencing actually has nothing to do with how I'm feeling or what I'm outputting or anything. But what I've learned, what I've read, depending on who you talk to. So we have our human biofield, which there's all these conspiracy theories about the human biofield in the time of COVID. So it makes me chuckle a little bit just to even talk about it. But an adult biofield, which it's just our aura, it's our energy.
Just our energy,
Energy extends from our body. And for adults, it's about 6 feet. In each direction.
Which is why that's the social distancing. So your aura doesn't touch my aura.
Exactly. Exactly. What I've learned is that the biofield, it's almost like a tree trunk. Like, the older we get, the rings just keep getting bigger. And we store our memories as vibrations in our biofield. So depending on where the memories are in your biofield, you know, how long the session is, what tones are being played, you start to dip into those memories. So the vibrations are really, and all the time, I mean, every class, somebody's like, I had the weirdest memory, something that I didn't even consciously remember. And I'll tell you what's even more crazy is when I work with the teenagers in high schools. Because their biofield is little still. So they are having intense memories from childhood, which that's why I started doing all of this homework. Because I'm like, the kids remember way more than the adults do. What's this about?
And wouldn't you say they're probably more open too? I mean, they're less jaded. Just kids are anyway. They're so much more receptive.
Absolutely. And we don't have such a big biofield to like cut through before we start getting into the memories. Because they're much smaller than adults. But yes, it's all the things. It's all the things.
So would you, if someone has maybe past childhood trauma or even adult trauma that they're holding onto, do you recommend sound baths, being immersed in sound? And the woman that had the experience that I mentioned that had such a kind of uncomfortable experience, had a lot of childhood sexual trauma that she was aware of, but maybe not had fully kind of cleared that energy and done the trauma work. I mean, obviously you're not a therapist, or I would suggest anyone out there to seek their guidance of their therapist, but what's your thought on that with trauma?
Yeah. So I do have an acknowledgement form when people are signing up before they book that says, I am not a therapist. Sound is incredibly powerful. It literally will move stuck energy within and from the body. So if there is trauma that you have not properly resolved or dealt with or are currently working through, I don't recommend the sound bath. Mm-hmm. I do think that there are times when it can be more detrimental than helpful. And I always try to create a really safe space in which I'm very transparent about whether it might be good for someone or not. And it's less, I'll be honest, I haven't had a single person have an experience that was negative. I have had a number of people leave just bawling, having a total emotional release, but being very aware of what's going on. You know, I think the greater collective really views crying pretty negatively.
No, it's so powerful and healing. Oh my God, that's energy that has to come out. You gotta be open to it. Yeah.
Exactly. So luckily, most people who come to a sound bath don't view crying as a bad thing. They want a release. But, and I think because of that acknowledgement form, also, it's sort of helped people who maybe aren't in that most ideal state to attend, preventing them from attending. And I will also say, too, just like you and that woman had a completely different experience in the same class, if you were to go to a sound bath once a week, every week for a year, you would have a totally different mm-hmm. experience every single time, depending on what you're bringing to the table that day.
Mm-hmm.
So I have regulars who literally, I have a woman who has been coming almost every week since December, and she's like, I've never had the same sound bath twice. I'm like, well, that's great.
Yeah. We were talking about too, let's go back to the energy centers and the tones of the bowls and how you come to play. I mean, there is a part where you have to be so open to kind of let that guidance come through you so that you know even which tones to play.
Yes. And I do play completely intuitively. I get this question all the time. People are like, what pattern do you play in? And I'm like, friends, it's a crapshoot. Like,
yeah. Which is why you're having a different experience. I mean, it's the same thing with teaching yoga. You can walk in with a plan and know how well-versed you are, and you got to read the energy of the room. You may come in and you're feeling the tension or the lethargic, and people are exhausted. You're not going to go bust out a vinyasa flow in a 90-degree room. You're going to just bring it down.
Yes. And thank you for saying that, because like I facilitated at a local high school the week of the election. And I knew going in that that was a heavy week to begin with. And I got there and the energy was just low. Let's just put it that way. It was very, very, very low. And all I did really, like, I just cranked on that root bowl for almost the whole hour. Mm-hmm. 'Cause I was just like, the crown and the third eye, like, that is not going to serve us today, right now. Like, we just need some grounding stability. And those deep tones are just so comforting. They're so comforting. Mm-hmm. So there is definitely, yes, I like to have an idea of the kind of meditation I'm going to do going into it, but I never try to determine ahead of time, like what bowls I'm going to play, unless I'm doing like a sacral workshop where we're going deep in the sacral. And then I know I'm just going to play the sacral and the other feminine chakras for most of the time.
Mm-hmm. Do you have particular sounds that you gravitate toward consistently, or is it truly just reading the room?
It really is just reading the room. Although I will say personally, the three bowls that I probably play the most is the sacral, the heart, and the third eye, which are the feminine chakras. And I set my bowls up so that the male chakras are on the left side, the feminine chakras are on the right side. And I'm like, maybe it's because I'm right-handed and they're just right here. But for me, I love the way those ones sound, especially mm-hmm. together. So yeah, I do tend to gravitate towards those three more than the others. But I also do try, depending on whatever's going on, I do try to play a healthy mix of all seven if it's called for.
Mm-hmm. And has music always been a part of your life, or is this kind of something that you discovered as a passion?
I am not musical in the traditional sense. So, and that's another thing. Each bowl has an actual note associated with it. I call them by their chakra names. Like I
So you didn't play like the guitar or the viola. You weren't. Okay. All right. Which
none
a lot of
it.
People that get to the harmonium and the people that really gravitate toward bhakti yoga, which is a lot of chanting, have beautiful freaking voices. I know it's very powerful and there's so much love in bhakti yoga. And yes, you sound amazing, which is why for me, it's a little harder to really sing my heart out because I am tone deaf. But I do love chanting. It's the only time I can sound okay. But it's interesting to not have a path of music and then really be called to this modality.
Yeah. In the beginning, I'll be very honest. In the beginning, because of this, I had intense imposter syndrome. I was like, you don't even know what the difference is between a G and a B. What do you think you're doing? And then I was like, oh, like you really don't need to know that to do this at all. So I am not a musician. I don't call myself a sound healer. I am sort of like leaning towards calling myself a sound bath artist.
I like that.
But I'm not a traditional musician. Yeah. I'm always very upfront about that. And in line with that, I think I am also a little bit different in that I believe that if you feel called to this modality, that you can be a practitioner of this modality. I do not think that there are any prerequisites that are required. I definitely don't, because there is not a
like certification or school.
Right. There are hundreds of them, but it's like, they're all just people who decided that they were qualified to come up with a certification. And I'm kind of like, I don't know if I buy into that.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't learn from anybody. I did this all through self-teaching and just playing the bowls. Mm-hmm. So I always try to tell people that, like, if you are feeling called to this modality, explore it, even if you don't have a musical background.
I love that. How do you keep yourself open to be able to continue to facilitate this work? Because life is hard. Life is really fucking hard. It just is. And life is harder at sometimes than others. And sometimes you still have to show up. What does that self-care look like for you?
Yes. So I'll be very honest in that I don't want to say I failed this lesson, but I didn't do very well with this lesson over the last few months, which is why, you know, I'm kind of in the space that I am of trying to just come back to myself and take care of myself because I really let things get out of control. But I will say I take baths daily. I'm an enormous bather and I do all the things. Like I light a candle, I have my bath salts, I have my bubble bath. I'm very sensory. So for me, like just being warm and being in the water is so good for me. And I'm like a little bit embarrassed to admit this, but over the last few months, I've kind of transitioned away from frequencies at night. And I've been listening to a lot of ASMR. Do you know what that is?
No, what is that?
So ASMR, again, it's just very sensory. It's an autonomous sensory meridian response. So it's like, if you've ever been talking to somebody and they're doing something with their hands and like the hair on your neck stands up, do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Yeah. Or snails on the chalkboard.
Yes. That's one, but that's like a bad.
But that's gotta be, that's not a good one.
But so you can literally listen to these ASMR artists who just tap on things and whisper and you get that ASMR response for like an hour. So I will just lay in bed, falling asleep, listening to ASMR. Because it brings me back into my body.
Yeah.
It's very weird. I was one of the people when I found out, I was like, what? I was like, this shit is so weird. People are sitting at home doing this.
Yeah. Tapping on wood things for an hour. I've got to check it out. Or was that like a Spotify thing or what?
YouTube. Oh, and these good. People God, I love are YouTube. Making, yeah. They have millions of followers and this is their job.
Yeah. I have to seek one of those out. I got to find out more about this. This is interesting. I'm going to have to listen to it and check it out. Yeah. But healing, I mean, girl, whatever brings us out of this crazy monkey mind that we live in to function in this world and come back to our body and come back to the soul and to feel grounded, to get up and do it again, by all means, even if it's sound of the fan and tapping on a wood table for
totally.
An hour.
Totally. And I'll be, but those are really the things that I've done when I'm not doing well. I am very much back in that space of I can't even get on my mat. I can't even cook for myself. So when I'm doing better, I mean, yoga is a huge, huge part of my practice. I mean, I can't say enough about what yoga does for me. I just get into these funks where I'm like, I'm too depressed to get on my mat. And I'm kind of in that space right now. So
But you're so honest about it. I really do. I know it's not fun, quick, or easy to be down and to be struggling, to be open and be like, hey, I'm not doing okay. And this is, I can't show up in this way. This is how I can show up, I think is really strong and brave of you. Because that's a hard thing to do. Yeah. And it's really beautiful. So where do you think this path is leading you? Where can, if someone's interested in finding you for a sound bath, do you have a vision, a goal? Where are you now? Can we connect?
So my website is thegardenergirl.com and my Instagram is the same. It's thegardenergirl. I always have a link in my bio to any upcoming events or things that I have going on. Right now, I do not have a physical space. So I'm sort of a wandering sound bath artist, if you will. I have gotten more plugged into, now that offices are opening back up, I'm luckily getting plugged into the corporate space and facilitating with corporate teams. I work with a number of local yoga studios that I pop up with on a monthly basis. And people can, obviously, like you did, I love coming into people's homes and facilitating for small groups of family and friends as well. So that's something that's available. During June, I have, I think, 5 different pop-ups planned. And there's one in Irvington, 2 at Keystone at the Crossing, and then a couple in Carmel. So they're sort of all spread out depending on where people are in town. And they each are a little bit of a, each studio is different. Like I pop up at Urban Meditation, which has been so interesting because they have this incredible heated lava rock floor, which just sort of takes the experience to the next level. So, and they can only fit 10 people. So those sessions, they fill up so quickly because it's such an experience. But yeah, I don't know. You know, I don't know if I want a permanent physical space or not, to be very honest. Right now, my focus is just kind of getting back into a better headspace for myself, if I'm being totally honest. But I do love this. Like, I love it. I will also say, I think the only reason that I lasted as long as I did not taking care of myself is having the opportunity to facilitate. Like, I get just as much out of facilitating as people who attend get out of it. Like, it lights me up to no end. So I'm very grateful that I have this as an outlet.
It's so beautiful. And to share that, I definitely want to get you in. I want to do one with the girls. I think that would be like maybe even a mini session because the kids' attention span at 9 and 12 is a little shorter. And one has ADHD and anxiety, and we've worked on gut health. And I think it would be interesting to just check in with them after something like this and see. But like I said, kids are so open and they see so many things and experience things that we are just kind of closed off to as adults. And where, if people aren't in Indianapolis, there's no like national kind of sound bath healing. You just got to Google it and find out and try it out like you would a yoga studio. And is it only the singing bowls? People play other sounds. I went to one outside of Knoxville and he played, I don't know, maybe 5 or 6 different instruments. This one gentleman that did it and sang. And so there's all kinds of experiences out there.
Tons and tons and tons. And I will say the voice is definitely something that I'm interested in going deeper with because I mean, everything I've read says that the human voice is actually the most powerful modality that you can share with people. I'm just not quite there yet. Yeah, there's drum circles. I mean, so many people do this with drums, gongs. I also use chimes during mine, which that's a whole different experience in itself. Didgeridoos. Yeah, there's actually a local didgeridoo guy here in Indy.
He came to my studio once. That was wild. It was cool. It was, I don't know, probably 3 or 4 years ago. And to play that instruments like over people's heart and sacred. I mean, it was whoa, because you're blasted with the sound directly onto your physical body. Yeah.
Yeah. And Meg, she's a sound bath facilitator here in Indy too. She used to live in New York. She went to gong bath every Friday, like just a gong that they just hit the gong over and over and over. And she did that every Friday night. It is wild.
Well, I love it. I mean, scientifically, sound heals and people can have such incredible experiences. And so if they're interested, definitely to check you out or someplace local and just give it a try. Be open to experiencing something else and walking, you know, just without any expectations. I think just going in, it's something that I love what you said, where maybe yoga, the physical practice isn't accessible to many right now, that we just don't have it in us, you know, to lay in a comfortable position. You know, you can bring bolsters or blankets and be comfy and lay and be receiving this healing sound. The power of sound, I think, is really incredible.
Yeah. And you can make it really fun too. Like, I have had so many adults who were like, it felt like I was getting ready to go to a sleepover and it was so fun. And so, yeah, to just make a time out of it. I just know that I have spent so much time at the bottom of the barrel, and I know how shitty that feels. And I know how shitty it feels when someone's like, just go work out, pull yourself out of it. Like, I am never going to be a person who feels good about saying those things to people, but I can always, always say, hey, take an hour for yourself to take a nap. Like, please just come and take a nap with me for 1 hour. I promise you'll feel better. I am very comfortable with that.
Yes. And who doesn't want to sign up for that, right? For sure. I love it. Sarah, you are an incredible person. I'm so glad that you came in my life. Thank you.